Shabbos Daf Yud Ches. So Gemara starts off with a question asking who is the one in the Mishnah that says that just pouring the water into the ink on Shabbos without even mixing it is considered soaking it, which would be the malacha of kneading, because our Mishnah considers it soaking with the ink even though you didn't actually do anything, and it says that, and it's considering this as kneading. So Yosef says this is Rebbe, because we have a brace that says in the name of Rebbe, if one person contributes flour and water into a combination, whoever put the stuff in second, either the water or the flour, is chayev. Even though there is no mixing, we still consider, Rebbe still considers that kneading. Again, even though there is no mixing, Rebbe Yehuda says you're only chayev if you actually kneaded it. But Abaye questions this. Maybe Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, who says you're only chayev if you actually kneaded it, is only saying that by flour, which is something which can be kneaded. But he would say you're chayev by ink just for pouring it in, because ink is not something which can be kneaded. And he wouldn't require, it's not kneadable, so he wouldn't require the kneading by the ink. However, Rav Yosef will respond that we have another braisa that says in the name of Rebbe that if one person contributes the afer, the ashes, and one person contributes the water to a mixture, whoever put it in second is chayev, even though there was no mixing. And Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda says you have to actually do the kneading to be chayev. And we see here that ashes, which are something which are not kneadable, Rav Yosef Rav Yehuda still argues on this. And even though the ashes are something which aren't actually kneadable, he still requires the kneading. However, Abaye will answer, maybe that braisa is not talking about afer, ashes, rather it's talking about afar, dirt. And dirt is something which can be kneaded, and that's why Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda argues there, because he's talking about dirt, which has to be kneaded. However, Rabbi Yosef answers back that we have one braisa that says this halacha talking about afer, and one braisa which says this halacha talking about afar. And we wouldn't have two braisas teaching the exact same case, so it makes sense that this one is talking about ashes, which are something which cannot be kneaded, and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda still argues. However, Abaye answers, well, these two braisas weren't taught together, they could potentially be the same case. We have a braisa that says that you can open a water channel from the spring to the garden and let it fill up all Shabbos. The next case is that you can leave incense under clothes all Shabbos to have them perfumed and smell better. Next case is that you can place sulfur under silver and let it sulfurate all of Shabbos. The next case is that you can place medicine on your eye or your wound and leave it to heal all Shabbos. The next case is that, contrary to all these prior cases, you cannot put wheat in the mill unless there's enough time for it to be ground before Shabbos. So why are we differing by the mill? Rabbi says, since it's loud, it's not respectful to the Shabbos, because the mill is a very loud thing and it's going to look bad. It's going to kind of desecrate the Shabbos. But Rav Yosef says, why do you have to even get onto that? Just say it's because of Shvisas Kalim. A braisa says that you have to leave your utensils idle, Shvisas Kalim, on Shabbos, that you can't have utensils running. Even if you're not the one actually doing it, you can't even have your utensils running. So therefore, Rav Yosef says the reason that you can't use the mill is because of Shvisas Kalim on Shabbos. So then, if that's true, that everyone holds that Shvisas Kalim is d'oraisa, why does Beis Hillel allow the burning of sulfur and spices going into Shabbos in our Mishnah? Why would he allow that? Because the utensil isn't actually doing the action on Shabbos. It's kind of just a passive thing which is happening, and that's why he can allow you to start the burning before Shabbos and let it go on into Shabbos, because it's not actually doing any object. Any action is just passively continuing what it was doing. So why do we allow the bundles of flax to be heated in our Mishnah? Because there, again, the oven is just passive. You kind of just put it in and it's just doing its thing. So why does Beis Hillel allow traps on Shabbos? Traps are an active thing. The trap is actively doing something. Well, no, because this case is we're talking about traps such as fish hooks and baskets, because the fish just kind of swim onto the fish hooks, they get trapped in them, but the fish hook isn't doing anything, it's the fish grabbing onto the fish hook. And also the baskets, they were these special kind of traps that the animal would kind of wiggle in and then he would get stuck and wouldn't be able to come out. Again, the trap itself is not actually doing an active action. Rav Asi teaches a little differently. He says that the braisa that holds of Shvisas Kalim, that you can't use utensils on Shabbos, is going like Beis Shammai. According to Beis Shammai, you can't use utensils whether they're doing an action or not, whether they're active or passive. You can never use utensils. And according to Beis Hillel, you can use utensils even if they're doing an action. He doesn't hold of Shvisas Kalim at all, even if they would be doing an action. But according to Beis Shammai, then, why do Beis Shammai allow burning spices and incense if they have a problem with Shvisas Kalim, why would they allow it? They say that it's on the ground. It's not any utensil. It's not that you put up a utensil on Erev Shabbos and let that continue burning into Shabbos. It's where you just had it on the ground. But then why would Beis Shammai allow a beer brewer's barrel, lamp, pot, and spit to function on Shabbos? Because basically when a brewer wants to make beer, they have to let the barley soak for 8 days. And therefore, you would be using the utensils over Shabbos. So how can Beis Shammai allow that? Seemingly, we don't see anywhere where Beis Shammai say it's usser. I mean, where Beis Shammai allow it, but they don't say anywhere that it's usser. So we have to assume that they're okay with it. So rather, we would say that Beis Shammai only allows the brewer to use his stuff over Shabbos, meaning to have it sit in there over Shabbos, if he makes them hefker before Shabbos. So who taught this brisa that you can't fill a pot with beans that require excessive cooking, and you can't put them in the oven on Erev Shabbos? I mean, you can't put these beans in the oven on Erev Shabbos because they're going to cook through into Shabbos, and if you did, you can't eat them until Saturday night, until you've waited the amount of time that it would have taken for them to be ready, to be cooked. And this is the same is true for a baker who put up water to boil on Friday, that he would have to wait Saturday night until the amount of time it would take for the water to boil to be able to use that water. So is this going? This seems to be going like Beis Shammai holds of Shvisas Kalim and not Beis Hillel, because in these cases you just put it in and let it do its thing, and that seems like Shvisas Kalim, which holds like Beis Hillel with like Beis Shammai. But we answer that this can even be going like Beis Hillel, that Beis Hillel doesn't allow you to do it here lest you come to stir the coals on Shabbos. That's why Beis Hillel doesn't want you putting things in the oven, because you might start stirring the coals on Shabbos, which is usser. But if we're gonna make a gzera for that, then you should make a gzera for burning incense for the clothes and for the sulfur also. Why does Beis Hillel allow that? There you might come to stir the coals. No, because in the case where you're burning the incense and the sulfur, you're not going to stir the coals, because that will create smoke, and the smoke will ruin the clothes and the silver, so you're not going to touch that. But then why don't we make a gzera for the flax in the oven, that you might come to stir the coals? Because again, you're not going to want to open the oven, because that's going to let a draft in, which will ruin the flax, so therefore you're not going to uncover the oven. We're not worried you're going to stir the coals. So why don't we make a gzera for the wool in the dryer's vat, that you might come to stir the coals in that? So Shmuel answers, this is a case where you took it off of the fire. However, even if you took it off of the fire, you might still come to stir the contents of the vat, which also is usher on Shabbos, because then you're eating the whole process by stirring the contents that are in the vat. So here we're dealing with a case where the vat is sealed. So because we're worried about stirring the coals, that's what the gzera is, then seemingly based on this, we would be allowed to put raw meat in an oven on Erev Shabbos on Friday, because you're not going to stir the coals, because they're not going to be ready that night anyway, so there's no point in stirring the coals with raw meat, so that would be fine. Similarly, for cooked foods, you can leave them in, because again, you're not going to stir the coals, because there's nothing to do. However, if you have partially cooked food, then that's usher, because you might come to stir the coals. But if you threw some raw meat into the pot, then it's fine, because you're not going to stir the coals, because it's going to take a while for the raw meat anyway. And similarly, since we have a no gzera where we're worried about the draft ruining the meat, then you would be allowed to put in kids' meat in a sealed oven, meaning like a baby lamb, in a sealed oven, because you're not going to want to open it up. And it's also, you're not going to want to open it up because of the draft, and it's sealed, so it's going to be even harder to open it up, so you're not going to come to stir the coals. However, you cannot leave mature ram's meat in an unsealed oven, because the draft is not going to ruin the ram meat, so you might come to open it up, and it's unsealed, so again, you might come to open up the oven and stir the coal. So what about a case where you have kid meat where the draft is bad for it, but it's in an unsealed oven, so you might open it up easily? Or you have a case where you have ram meat where the draft doesn't affect it, but it's in a sealed oven, so you can easily get to it. So Rav Ashi says that it's mutter, and Rav Yirmiyahu Difti says it's usher in this case. But according to Rav Ashi, who says that it's mutter, we have a mission that says that you can't roast meat or onions or eggs on Friday unless there's enough time for it to be roasted before Shabbos. So what does Rav Ashi do with this? Because you say it's mutter. He says this is talking about the meat that's talking about in this mission is talking about ram meat that's in an unsealed oven, because everyone agrees that that is usher. Some actually teach this whole thing a little differently. They say that kid meat is okay to be in a sealed or an unsealed oven, because even if it's in an unsealed oven, you're not going to want to open it up because of the draft. Ram meat is fine if it's in a sealed oven, because you're not going to want to go through the process of unsealing it to open it up. However, the question is, when you have ram meat in an unsealed oven, because the draft isn't going to be bad for it and it's very easy to open it up. Rav Ashi again says it's mutter. Rav Yirmiyahu Midifti says it's usser. But we have the same question on Rav Ashi from the Mishnah that says that you can't roast the meat on Erev Shabbos if it's not going to be ready before Shabbos. And Rav Ashi answers, that Mishnah that says you can't roast the meat on Erev Shabbos is talking about where you roast the meat over open coals, because then it's very easy to come to stir them. Ravina says that based on this, you could put raw squash in an oven on Friday and leave it over Shabbos because if you're not going to open it up because the draft is bad for the raw squash. The Mishnah says that according to Beis Shammai, you can't sell things to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, and Beis Hillel says you can sell things to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos. We have a brisa which fleshes this out. Beis Shammai says you can't sell or lend whether or not you stipulate that you have to return the exact object after the loan, or you can return an equivalent object. You can't give a gift or anything to a non-Jew unless there's enough time for him to get home before Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says you only need enough time for him to reach the closest house to the wall of his city, meaning he just needs enough time to get into the city. Rabbi Akiva says you only need enough time for him to leave the Jew's house who sold it to him. But Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Akiva is not actually arguing with Beis Hillel. He's just explaining what he said. Rabbi Akiva basically is saying, no, Beis Hillel had a different opinion. It's that he only needed time to leave the Jew's house. He never actually said he needs time to just get into the city. We have another brisa that Beis Shammai says you can't sell chametz to a non-Jew unless you know that the non-Jew will consume it before Pesach. Because according to Beis Shammai, when the mitzvah of getting rid of your chametz and the usher of having chametz means the usher means that you have to make sure that the chametz is totally destroyed and consumed. So if you're going to sell it to a non-Jew, you have to make sure that he's going to consume it before Pesach. Beis Hillel says, no, you're allowed to sell chametz as long as you're allowed to eat it. Meaning he's not worried about Beis Shammai. He says, just sell it, just get rid of it. You just can't have it in your possession. Rabbi Yehuda says that you can't sell kutach habavli, which is this chametz kind of a dip, which is made of bread, and all types of kutach, again, these dips, for 30 days before Pesach, because he's similarly worried, like Beis Shammai, because since it's a dip, it's going to take a very long time for it to be consumed, and so he doesn't want you to sell that within 30 days of Pesach. Shkayach.